Welcome to this introductory lecture in participatory design. I am Monica.
And I'm Leikny.
We are both professors at Oslo and Akershus University College of Applied Sciences. First of all, Leikny, can you give us a definition of participatory design?
Yes. In the textbook, participatory design is defined as the process of investigating, understanding, reflecting upon, establishing, developing, and supporting mutual learning between multiple participants in collective reflection in action. So it's a whole process. And the participants typically undertake the two principal roles of users and designers, where the designers strive to learn the reality of the user's situation, and the users strive to articulate their desired aims and learn appropriate technological means to obtain them. So please notice the highlighted keywords, mutual learning, reflection in actions, action, and users and designers.
Okay, so to summarize, the main principles in participatory design is user participation, mutual learning, and co-realization.
Yes, and co-realization is the most difficult word here. Meaning that users and designers together should try to obtain the goal of the project.
Okay, Leikny, but please tell us a little bit about the background of participatory design.
Yes, it has really a Scandinavian heritage. Mm-hmm. There was in the 70s and 80s a rather strong research group around Kristen Nygaard. And he was the founder of the so-called Scandinavian tradition or Scandinavian school in system development. And there were some satellites in Sweden and Denmark, so to say. And there were around five big or almost iconical projects, two of them in Norway and the other three in Sweden and Denmark. And I will say a little bit about the two Norwegian projects. First of all, the iron and metal project. It resulted in the first agreement between employers and employees in the ICT area. So that was very important. And the users, the workers, were active participants in the project. And it was very important to find a knowledge strategy. And they also used action research, which we'll come back to. And then the Due and Demos was the Danish and Swedish project in the same field, so to say. They were working with knowledge strategy also. And then you had the design and intervention projects, where the Florence project was Norwegian, and that was a very, very important project. They actually introduced the idea of mutual learning and multiple perspective as a main idea in participatory design. And another thing that was important in the Florence project, from the name you can guess that the users were nurses. So it was a female profession where all the other projects were mostly men. Yes, and then you had the Utopia project from Sweden. That was also quite important, and it's written a lot about in the textbook, actually.
So, okay, then. We can say then that all these projects, they were based on ethnographic analysis, studying what people actually were doing, and then with a particular focus on the relation between work and technology.
Yes, even if the name ethnographic analysis was not used in Scandinavia at that time. So that comes from the American part of the heritage of participatory design.
But can you also tell us a little bit about the theoretical roots of participatory design?
Yes. As I have said already, it was important for the researchers to take a stand from the underprivileged or the working class. So Marxism was an important theoretical route with focus on class contradiction and class struggle, and also critical action research, which we will come back to in some of the later lectures. And situated knowledge, meaning unsituated action, meaning that there is no fixed solution to anything. You have to take the actual situation into account and find knowledge and do action according to that. And then last but not least, there are some theoretical roots from feminism, especially the idea that the personal is political, the personal issues are influenced by the society and vice versa, and also questioning objectivity and rationality comes from feminism. But all these ideas and all these theoretical roots, they come from the 70s and the 80s. So I would ask you then, Monica, if these ideas are applicable today.
Yes, of course, I can think about that and discuss it. But let us start then referring to a quote from the book. I like that one. If we are to design the future we wish to live, then we need those who future they will be to actively participate in the design. And that is what we know very well today in a technology world, because we know about how social software and a lot of information technology system actually engage people in designing and developing the technology and the work they will do. Mm-hmm. And we also know then by having object-oriented programming languages, we have content management system, and we have then information technology that can realize this engagement of the participant or the user mm-hmm. of a particular technology. Mm-hmm. Okay, then let us now talk about the three main issues of participatory design. Mm. First, we have participation. What can I say about that?
Well, the most important question is perhaps who are the users? They can be teachers, they can be pupils, students, parents, group in the community, and so on. So to identify and also to pick the users, that is very, very important. And there can be both practical and political reasons to choose specific groups of users or even specific users. And then there are several degrees of participation, starting at the bottom with information, that is quite low degree of participation. And then representation, picking a few users to represent their group. And then you have involvement from groups of users. And then you have direct participation and this co-realization, which is the ideal of participatory design. And the next big issue is practice. That should be easier, or...
Yes, practice is about both action and reflection. And what we see in participatory design, that there's a cyclic way of working. You do something and you reflect on what you do, and then you do something new and you reflect again. This is something we also will learn more about in action research. In addition to this, practice is social technical. That means that practice is the entanglement of both human actors and non-human actors, or both the social system and the material system. It's many ways to say it. And you say that the practice is not something resulting from one or the other, but the entanglement that they do things together, they create new practice by being in this, influencing each other. And then finally, practice is a social activity. It is rather the community more than the individual that form new practice. Finally, the third issue is about design. And then we are smiling because design is these days so very tight related to clothing or furniture or whatever. But what will you say about design in participatory design?
Well, it's both a noun and a verb, or it's We are designing both the product and we are designing the process, the development process itself. Mm. In system development, this is often called analysis and design, where analysis refers to the process of defining what. What is the situation? What are we going to create? And design refers to the process of how. Mm. How are we going to make it? How is it going to work? How is it going to look? And of course, analysis and design are closely interwoven. They cannot be totally separated.
Mm. Okay, so then, so summing it all up, you will give some guiding principles for participatory design. Mm. It's about equalizing power.
As in representation.
Mm. It's about situation-based action.
As in action research, will we come back to.
And it's about mutual learning.
As in multiple perspective, yes.
And finally, it's about tools and techniques.
Which we will always also come back to, as for instance, rich pictures and use cases.
Okay. This concludes our short introduction to participatory design.